Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to William Hill's Cricket Podcast. The Cricket World Cup is up and running and we've had some great action so far. The man talking us through a lot of these big games is former England and Yorkshire batsman Anthony McGrath, and he's on the line now. You well, mate?
Very well, yourself?
Yeah, good. You've been burning the midnight oil or just catching up on the highlights?
I have. A bit of both.
Yeah. It's hard going though, isn't it, to stay up for all of it?
Yeah. I missed out a couple of the Zimbabwe and UAE games.
Fair enough.
We're
not going to hold that against you, to be fair. We're going to have a look at New Zealand versus England and Pakistan versus West Indies with just a quick glance at Australia, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka versus Afghanistan. Let's start with the Kiwis versus England. 2-1 on the co-hosts. England are 13-8, all the usual markets available. Headline offers: New Zealand to win the match and score the most sixes is 6-5. England to win the match and score the most sixes is 5-1. Brendan McCullum, top New Zealand bat, and New Zealand to win is 5-1, and Trent Bolt to be the top New Zealand bowler, and New Zealand to win is 4-1. Those markets for England: Ian Bell in an England win is 10-1, and Jimmy Anderson in an England win is 7-1. We almost jokingly discussed that special bet on Owen Morgan to get a duck. I think it was 8-1. It only went and landed. Anthony, I mean, it's gone from bad to worse for him, really. Just what we kind of said, we said he needs to get some runs to shut the media up. It's the media who create these storms. I'm sure within the dressing room it's all right, and he did the worst thing possible, really, didn't he?
I know. It's as you say, it couldn't get much worse. And I think when he turned up in New Zealand, I think when they had the official welcome of England, they got his name wrong as well, Owen Morgan. So it's just an absolute nightmare period for him. But it's difficult to know if he's in form or out of form, because he's in and out so quickly. So it could be putting in, or he will be putting in lots of work behind the scenes. But the pressure in the media, as you say, really do seem to be getting on his back, and understandably so. And he really needs some runs in this game, if not the next. Or, you know, England will have to look at completely changing it.
You're not kidding. The way this works, and we spoke about this on the initial podcast. It's a long old tournament, but New Zealand have already managed to win two games.
Yeah.
They looked a little bit vulnerable against Scotland, to be fair, but they've got the job done, and that means they're pretty much qualified. And obviously for England, despite their bad start, you know, as long as they don't play ridiculously badly, they'll get there in the end. I imagine who will be the most keyed up for this? England, with the fact that the Kiwis have already pretty much qualified, will England be slightly more up for this one?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if you look at New Zealand, I think because they're at home, they're normally going to tournaments, you know, kind of fourth, fifth down the list, if not further, in terms of winners. But everyone's been talking about them and talking them up as potential winners. So I think they'll be bang up for it, and especially having a little bit of a scare. I mean, I know they lost a few late wickets. They'll be wanting to beat England as well, without doubt. When any country plays England, for some reason, everyone wants to beat England. So they'll be up for it. But England, they really do have to, you know, get some form and very quickly. I know we've talked about the tournament and you can still qualify, but you need some momentum and you need players in form, and you can't leave it till playing the minnows, because if you do lose against one of them, as we saw with West Indies and Ireland, you are really in trouble. So England will need a big performance, but I just don't know whether, you know, a few of the players are playing with a bit of fear. And there's a difference with being really up for it and then playing with fear. As you see, I think a few of our batsmen especially, you know, shots they'd normally play that they're not really going for. So that worries me a little bit too.
Let's have a look at the betting markets then. The top batsman bowler markets is where we'll have a look first of all. Kane Williamson is 11-4 to be the top Kiwi batsman. Brendan McCullum, the subject of that headline offer, is 3-1. Martin Guptill is 4-1. Ross Taylor, 9-2. Tom Latham, 5-1. Corey Anderson and Grant Elliott are both 8-1. And then you get to 12-1 and bigger the rest. it's hard to look anywhere else other than Kane Williamson, I suppose, at the top of the market, isn't it? I mean, he's been great, obviously, over the, you know, just shown so much consistency. Then you've got McCullum, who's the kind of the showbiz one almost, isn't he? He's the one who's going to provide the fireworks.
Yeah, I think the top three in this market, and actually top three in the order, are the ones to look at: Gupta, McCullum and Williamson. All looking good form to me. I think Gupta hit 49 the other evening. As you say, McCullum the real showstopper, but Williamson really consistent. So I think it'll come between one of them three. I think Williamson is the standout, but I think if you go for any one of them three, you won't be far wrong. But I mean, New Zealand back right down to number seven, we saw Anderson and Elliott and Ronchi come in and hit sixes and fours, so they really are a strong unit. But I think in terms of the top batsmen, I'd be looking at the top three in that market.
In the top England batsman market, Ian Bell 100-30, Joe Root 4-1, Moeen Ali 4-1, Alex Hales 9-2, Gary Balance is 9-2, James Taylor 5-1. Then we get to Owen Morgan at sixes, 10-1 and bigger. The rest of them, Gary Balance, a little bit of a surprise, wasn't it? That I suppose he was given the nod, a bit of a last minute change, if you like. Owen Morgan 6-1.
Well, I won't be going there.
You can't, can you?
No.
But it's one of those where you're kind of thinking, at some point, he's got to put a score down, on, hasn't he? He's got to do it. Well, he doesn't have to, obviously, but you know, as a punter, you think, he can't go on forever.
No. Well, I mean, New Zealand, I think it's sensible to talk about Williamson, obviously, McCullum. You can put a pick up and say, yeah, for this reason. But with England, you know, you're really at pains to say, well, apart from obviously Taylor, who played well, but in a losing cause, you wouldn't say with any great deal of conviction, yes, I'd go for him because all of them really look out of form. So it is really difficult. I mean, I did think, knowing Gary Balance pretty well from Yorkshire, I thought he looked really good the other night until he got out. So he showed some good signs of form. And he is similar to kind of, not as good yet, but similar to Kane Williamson in terms of he takes his time to get in and he's very consistent. You know, we've seen that with his international career so far. So I'd probably just go from the evidence I saw the other night of how he was playing. I'd go Gary Balance at 9-2, but this really is a market you could close your eyes, I think, pick any. I really do.
Fair enough, yeah. The bowling markets, Trent Bolt is 11-4 to be the top New Zealand bowler. Tim Southee's 3-1. McLennan is 10-3. Adam Milne 7-2. Vittori's 4-1. Mills 4-1. If you look at you look at Vittori, he's taken five wickets in the two matches so far. So has Anderson. So has Southee's got four, and so has Bolt.
Yeah.
Pretty open heat this one again, isn't it? Really, when you look at how they've done so far. I suppose if you look at the match against Sri Lanka, which is a better bearing than the Scotland one. I think five of the bowlers all took two each, didn't they? So it's a tricky one to call this.
I mean, we talked about potentially a couple of New Zealand bowlers, Bolt and Milne, being, I tip them up as top wicket takers in the tournament. The one I like on this, and again, you're quite right in saying, you know, you could pick a couple of them, but I like the headline off of Trent Bolt, top New Zealand bowler, and New Zealand to win at 4-1. I think that's a good price. I just think, again, Bolt, he looks like he's put a bit of pace on, but he's bowling with that new ball as well. And I think, given England's frailties as well, he's a good chance of getting a couple of wickets. But like you say, you know, they are a really well-balanced team, New Zealand. You know, you look everywhere in each market and you say there's a bit of evidence for each, player to succeed. But I just slightly favour Trent Bolt.
For the England bowlers, Stephen Finn was the only highlight, really, wasn't he?
Yeah.
From the Aussie game, he's 11-4 to be top England bowler alongside Jimmy Anderson. I mean, he took figures of 5-71. Broad took two, Wokes took one, Anderson 0-67. You'd have to go with him again, wouldn't you? Yeah. 11 to 4?
Yeah, you would. I mean, it's just a bowling at the end. I think we went for over 100 runs or something in the last few overs, which you just can't do that as an international side. And again, there's no one really in form. I mean, I know Finn got 5 wickets, but probably wouldn't say he was bowling, you know, the best he can, but still picking up 5 wickets, that'll give him a little bit of confidence. So again, with the others, I couldn't say, you know, I'd pick him or him. So again, I'd probably go with him at 11 to 4, Steve.
Yeah, it makes sense. You're going for New Zealand to win the match, obviously, but you're chucking one of those headline offers with you to just get a bit of extra value.
I think so. The other one I like, and you just mentioned him briefly in the match, is the man of the match, Corey Anderson.
Right, yeah.
5 wickets so far, 75 against Sri Lanka, really dangerous coming in. And I think the way New Zealand play, they do try and keep wickets in hands for the likes of Elliot Anderson and Raunchy to come in, and he's a useful bowler as well. And I think at 12 to 1, that's a decent price.
Yeah, it's well worth looking at. The man of the match markets, if you look at the top of the page there, if you have a look at it through the other markets as well, there's all the kind of specials, most run outs and the dismissal methods and etc. The man of the match market is available in the all markets section. If you go into players, you also get to score a 50 and not to score a 50. You got bowler matches and batsman matches, so Joe Root versus Gary Balance, for instance, who gets the most runs and who gets the most wickets. It's Jimmy Anderson versus Stephen Finn there, Trent Bolt versus Tim Southee, so plenty to have a look through on those 41 markets, New Zealand versus England. Let's have a look at Pakistan versus the West Indies. 8 to 13 Pakistan, the West Indies 5 to 4. The West Indies, I mean, we kind of alluded to the fact that they needed to play well to make sure they weren't upset by Ireland, but we didn't go quite as far as saying that Ireland would win the match and the West Indies would be as bad as they were. Anthony, did it surprise you how poorly they were?
It did, really. I mean, we talked about possibly them blowing up at some point in the tournament, but you'd expect the first match of a World Cup, a test-playing nation, an established nation with a history and pride they've got, they'd put up a better showing than that. I mean, it looked completely reversed. It looked like Ireland were the full-time test-playing nation, and West Indies has got a wild card into the tournament. They looked absolutely all over, and if it wasn't for Lendl Simmons and Darren Sammy, it could have been even more embarrassing. I mean, in the end, they got to 300, but Ireland knocked them off comfortably, so I don't think there's much, you know, anywhere to go for the West Indies, unless, you know, they have got the individuals in there, but the troubles have got off the field as well. It really does seem as though it could be a fairly short tournament for them. And, you know, talk about their opponents, Pakistan. I actually thought they might be able to upset India a little bit. They were doing well at one stage at 100 for 2, but again fell short. So it's probably two teams who are way out of form.
You're not kidding. The beauty of it is that you don't have to have a bet on the outright. So I'm not sure I could trust either of them.
No.
I can't back Pakistan at odds on.
No.
Full stop. And, you know, West Indies at 5 to 4. I mean, what's giving? So you have to start looking at the different markets, of course.
Yeah.
And luckily, we've got the batsman and bowler markets. Misbah Haq is 3-1. He top scored against India, didn't he? One of the highlights of the game for them was 76. Ahmed Shahzad is 100-30. Yunis Khan 7-2. Harris Sahail is 9-2. Nazir Jamshed is 9-2. Sarfraz Ahmed is 6-1. And then you get up to 8-1 and bigger. Would you go back in there and just trust the form with Ul Haq?
I think the two standout batsmen for Pakistan are Misbah Ul Haq and Yunis Khan. Yunis has been in fantastic form all winter, so I think I'd be looking at them too, definitely. Misbah looked really good until he got out against India, so again, as captain, he's something to prove and trying to lead from the front. So I think one of them two you'd have to look at in the market. I know there's a headline offer as well, isn't there, on Misbah, top bat and Pakistan win
5-1.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, I'd have to pick Pakistan to win this game, just given how bad West Indies are. So if you fancy that, then chuck me Spire in there for 5-1. That's not too bad. But again, you wouldn't go in with a lot of confidence to pick the winner of this game.
No, the West Indies batsmen. I mean, you've already alluded to the fact that, you know, they did score. You know, they put some runs on the board, didn't they? And you know, and there were a couple of really big scores and good scores. I mean, Simmons hitting the 102 and Sammy hitting 89. If two of your players are scoring those kind of runs, you want to be winning the match. I mean, I suppose it gives us a little angle in here. Chris Gayle's a favourite and probably always will be at 3-1 while he's playing. Marlon Samuels is 4-1. Darren Bravo 9-2. Dwayne Smith 9-2. Simmons is 13-2. Just hit 102. Dennis Ramdin is 7-1. Carter 9-1. Darren Sammy at 14.
14. It's amazing.
I mean, those. I'm tempted to go for one of those two just because of the form on the board.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect the test playing nation in West Indies to get a big score against one of the minnows in Ireland. So I think if that had been another big team, international team, West Indies would have been playing them, possibly been out for 150-ish. But given the depth in Ireland, it allowed them to come around and score some runs. But again, you know, you'd have to go on the little bit of form they have got, and Lendl Simmons and Darren Sammy, you could probably pick both of them again at 13-2 and 14-1 and say, well, you know, they'll give us a decent run for our money. They're playing in New Zealand, and it's where New Zealand and Sri Lanka played, so it was a fairly high scoring game. And if you look at that game as well, New Zealand's highest score came from the middle order, lower order. So that's exactly where Simmons and Darren Sammy bat. So at them prices, I think you know, that might be the way to go, rather than the big names in terms of Gayle and Marlon Samuels.
Yeah, man of the match markets available there as well as all the team totals, players, wickets and the other markets. Again, 41 markets to pick from, Pakistan versus West Indies. Anyone who's desperate for a bet on the actual result, you're edging towards Pakistan there, but with a bit of maybe with you know, the headline offer thrown in there, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. If I had to pick, I'd go with them, just simply because how bad the West Indies were, and Pakistan weren't too bad. The other market I like on this, and this is probably the one I'd go for with a great deal of confidence, is the total match sixes. It's at over 10.5. West Indies hit 12 on their own in the last game.
Yeah.
It's a smallish ground there. We know the wicket's good because New Zealand and Sri Lanka played there. And one thing the West Indies do, they don't hold back. You know, they hit fours, they hit sixes. So I think, just check that. I think it was
5-6.
So yeah. I think that's a decent bet if you're wanting to do something on this game. You know, I think the stats back that up.
Yeah. And on the bowler markets, top Pakistan bowler, if you're looking for someone from the first leg with a bit of first game with a bit of form, 5-55. Sahail Khan managed, and he's 100-30 in the market there. And again, it wasn't a particularly great bowling performance from the West Indies, which seems strange, doesn't it, thinking about all the past great players they've had. But Taylor was the man who took 3 wickets. So again, if you, Jerome Taylor at 3-1 might be a pick there if you're purely going on who has some form, I guess, in those two bowler markets.
Yeah, I think the prices represent what we're all thinking. You could, again, put them in the hat and pull them out because we're only going on one game. Both teams haven't looked good in the warm-ups either. Pakistan, I only really like Mohammad Irfan and Sahail Khan, two opening bowlers. But with the West Indies, it just depends who turns up. It really does. You know, what they're like on the day. I think that's just where their cricket is at the moment.
The other two matches that are being played on the 21st of February, one at 3:30 in the morning, one at 10 o'clock UK time, Australia, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, Afghanistan. Both, I mean, Australia and Sri Lanka, 1-33 and 1-20. So there's not an awful lot we can get our teeth stuck into there. I suppose with these markets, I guess you can look at the top batsman, top bowler markets for the minnows. And if one of the players has got a little bit about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably worth having a look at those. I mean, you look at, say, for instance, the Bangladesh in their only match so far. You know, Shakib Al-Hassan hit 63 and Raheem hit 71.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the worst averages in the world, or not the worst scores in the world there. And I suppose if you look at Afghanistan, not so good. I mean, Mohammad Nabi got 44 and 42 for Shenwari as well. Is that the way you'd play these if you were looking for a bet on these? Because you're getting some, you know, decent, you know, same sort of prices around these sort of batsmen. I mean, Al-Hassan is 4-1 for Bangladesh. Raheem is 9-2.
Yeah.
And in the Afghanistan order, Shenwari 4-1 to be the top Afghanistan batsman. Nabi is 5-1.
Yeah, I think if you look back at tournaments like this, when the minnows come in, there's normally, you know, a player who appears from each team and has, you know, the minnows and has a good tournament. So I think you've got to go on the form from the last game. It gives players, obviously, confidence. So, you know, it's very unlikely there's going to be an upset in one of them games. But if you want to get involved, like you say, probably go on the little bit of form they've got. And you can probably pick a couple out, actually, you know, and it'll give you a decent interest in the match.
Yeah, and I think if you're watching the match as well, if you find yourself watching these, then it's worth watching the opposition rather than, you know, the Aussies and the Sri Lankans, just for the next games, just to give yourself a bit of an idea of who's got a little bit of form about them, and maybe even a little bit of better technique than the rest of them for those top batsman bowler markets. Have your thoughts changed anything on the actual outrights, Anthony, from what you've seen so far?
No, probably strengthened, actually.
Yeah,
still really like New Zealand. And obviously Australia,
yeah.
They're everyone's favourites, but I think them two, you know, potentially could be on collision course, especially if New Zealand win in the early hours of this morning. That'll give them huge confidence, having bet Sri Lanka and England, and knowing already that they've, you know, could finish top of the group, and then, you know, they're looking towards the later stage of the competition.
The outright prices see Australia as a 13-8 favourites, South Africa 100-13, New Zealand 7-2, India 8-1, England probably could have drifted more, but they're 12-1, Pakistan 20s, Sri Lanka 20s, West Indies 40-1, and then you get to 100-1 and bigger for the rest of them. Anthony, thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks,
We'll speak to you ahead of the England Scotland game, which, depending on what happens with the Kiwis, that could be anything.
Well,
surely not. Surely not. It can't happen, can it? I mean, we've got the prices out. We haven't got any markets. So it's just interesting to note that Scotland are 9-1 at the moment. England 1-20. So let's see what happens with the Kiwis and see if those prices change.
That's right.
At all. We'll also have a look at South Africa versus India when we speak to Ant next time out. Thanks for your time, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening. And if you're having a bet on any of the matches that are coming up over the next couple of days at the Cricket World Cup, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.